Our scripture reading is from Matthew 14, 15 to 21. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. What a great story. Let's listen to Steve and his sermon, Thankful for God's Provision.
Let's imagine we came to church today during Sunday school. It started snowing to beat the band, continued snowing. After worship, we realized it's just too much to try to risk it to go home. We're going to wait it out a little bit, and then hopefully they'll clear the roads, go. Continues to snow and snow. Finally, we realized, you know, we're stuck here. We need to eat. So if that was the case, I'm going to come around and collect food from the congregation. If you have anything. Okay. So, apples, tilapia, tuna fish, granola bars, crackers, a bagel, a roll, rice cakes, spearmint gum, a Heath bar, Smarties, a peanut butter chocolate chip granola bar, and Altoids. So, actually collected more than I thought. My point was going to be, and it's still, not, if we think, how's this going to feed 60 of us, you know? So we could kind of have the approach of being frustrated or just feeling like, this isn't enough. Why do we even bother? You know, why start eating when surely we can't? Another attitude would be to say, thanks God for the provision you did give us. We're going to appreciate it, be thankful for it, and we'll entrust it to you. We'll entrust ourselves to your care. Maybe you'll even do something miraculous. Maybe we can mix it with some ketchup and Coca-Cola and mayonnaise, whatever's in the fridge already, and, you know, we'll be able to feed ourselves. So just a little bit of a story there to get us thinking about how do we approach the provision that God's given us, how thankful we are, what's our attitude? Do we even realize or recognize or are we thankful for the provision that God's given to us? In our story for today, we have the, Jesus gathered with all these people. They've been there all day. They're hungry. And So Jesus says, we're going to feed them. And what I find interesting about this story is, first of all, there's this great act of trust. Jesus says, have the people sit down and prepare for this meal, which never struck me before, but just ahead of the miracle, they sat down in anticipation that this was a time that they were going to be fed. And then they gathered things, and, you know, it's the two loaves and the five fish. I think I said that backwards. It's five loaves and two fish. Whatever it is, it's not much. But what Jesus does is he gives thanks. He has a blessing. He blesses God for this food. And then he begins to distribute it, gives it to the disciples to give to the people, and they're satisfied. There's enough for all of them, even leftover. So just to imagine this, and especially to visualize Jesus giving thanks. The word in scripture is the same word we get the word eulogize from. You know, he praises God for this provision. Doesn't seem like much, but thank you, God, for this provision. We praise you. You know, praise be God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. His love endures forever. You know, kind of a blessing. And also, I think there would be a sense of blessing the food. Lord, may this be enough for us. And think about this for your daily lives too. Lord, may this be enough for us, and may it energize us or provide for us so that you might be glorified, so that we can carry out your purposes, so that your purposes would be accomplished. The blessing would just be a simple blessing. Blessed be you, O Lord our God, the King of the world, because you have provided from the earth and from the vine this food and this drink. You know, just a simple thank you for what you have provided. May this food be blessed. May it satisfy us. May it lead to you, O Lord, being glorified in our lives in this day. So it seems like there's it could be boiled down to, it seems like there's little provision. But with an act of trust, they trust God for enough. And as it's entrusted, God satisfies and God is glorified. Makes me think about Thanksgiving, which is coming up this week, obviously. And it's a day that we specifically set aside to have this kind of gratitude for God's provision. It seems to me, after I'm reading this story and reflecting on it, maybe the ideal scenario for a Thanksgiving meal is where the people who gather maybe even have some difficulty getting enough food together to put out there on the table for everyone. But it might not be extravagant, but they're grateful that there's enough here for everyone. They're grateful for the people who have gathered there. Thank you, God. These people at least represent the people you've blessed me with and the blessings of my life. Sometimes we can have so much that it can even overwhelm our gratitude. Just think about Thanksgiving for yourself. There was one Thanksgiving a number of years ago where I had, early in the afternoon, the Musselman family gathered, had a beautiful meal. In the evening, the Gordon family got together, had a wonderful, full, rich meal. Friday morning, I met my brother. We share a birthday, and we had Shady Maple smorgasbord. Monday morning, three meals in a row, just way more than enough, you know. And when I think about that time, my thought isn't, boy, that was a day when I was just grateful for every bite. You know, the what came about even more so was just enjoying being amazed by the excess of all this food that was being brought to me. So I'm not suggesting that, like, somehow our practice of Thanksgiving is sinful or inappropriate, but there could be something wrong if there's so much that that abundance becomes the focus, so much so that we're not grateful for that food that's been provided for us. We're not grateful for the people that are surrounding us. Jesus celebrated. The weddings he went to, I think, were just great times of celebration. Sometimes he was accused of being a glutton and a drunkard for the parties that he was a part of. So there's nothing wrong with celebrating. I don't want to put a damper on Thanksgiving, but how much does gratitude for this provision of God, how is this representative of my daily life when I am so grateful for everything that the Lord has given to me? I missed it in Sunday school, but I think there was a series on the book of Esther. And in the first chapter, there was King Ahasuerus, just wanted to show the glory of his kingdom, of everything that he's accumulated, the glory of his kingship. And so for 180 days, which is about 6 months, like for a half a year, he had what seems to come down to like a big open house. Come and see the glory of my kingdom. These are some of the things from Esther chapter 1. From the ceilings, there was linen that was fastened with silver rings on these marble pillars. There was couches of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of all kinds of fine precious jewels. There was wine served in goblets of gold. And you could drink with no restriction. And it ended with this 7-day banquet of just showing all that he had. And it was supposed to be highlighted by then him presenting his beautiful queen, Queen Vashti. And that's a whole another story of what happens then. But again, just this presentation of his own glory. And Matthew Henry, the commentator, makes this comment about the banquet that Jesus provided that day. There was more real grandeur displayed by the master of this feast than by Ahasuerus in his royal feast, which was intended to show the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty. In that more self-absorbed demonstration of grandeur that King Ahasuerus had, Jesus showed something even more glorious. This depiction of Jesus taking this provision, giving thanks for it. Thank you, O Lord God, King of the world, for you have provided by your hands of the earth and of the vine, this food and this drink for us. And then in an act of trust, distributing that so that all would be satisfied. And not even that, but that there would be even more that would be left over. That's truly a glorious banquet to demonstrate that kind of gratitude, that praise of God, and the satisfaction of all the people for their benefit, not for the glory of the one who was giving it out. I also think in this whole story, there's this teaching for the disciples that in the future, I'm going to be sending you out to bless the world in my name. And often it's not going to be easy, and you're going to feel like you don't have enough provision. But may this be a sign to you that in me, as I send you forth, just as I sent you in this crowd, I'll give you enough to accomplish my purposes. You know, it all starts with that sense of gratitude. Thank you for what you provided. I trust that you will continue to be the one who provides for my needs. And so, you know, as we get a sense and we're grateful for God's provision, we can begin to run after the provision instead of the provider. And Jesus warns, like in the Sermon on the Mount, don't be so worried. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? The pagans run after all these things, but your Father in heaven knows that you need them. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. Trust that I'll be enough. Even trust that I'll be enough as you seek my kingdom. There's a deeper satisfaction there than the satisfaction that King Ahasuerus was seeking, or when we run after all these things for our own glory. So just to think further about the aftermath of this miraculous story, of this feeding story, we read from Matthew and John. He goes farther into this story by saying Jesus left that place. The next day they went back over the lake and the people followed after them. And Jesus answered to them, you're coming to look for me, not because you saw God in my actions, but because I fed you, because I filled your stomach and for free. And he challenges them, and he challenges us to seek a deeper satisfaction, seek a deeper purpose, and trust that I'm going to be enough for you in those deeper pursuits as well. The people said, show us what you can do. Give us a sign. Like Moses, he fed the people in the wilderness. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus responded to them, the real significance of that scripture is not that Moses gave you bread from heaven, but that my Father right now is offering you bread from heaven, real bread. The bread of God came down out of heaven and is giving life to the world. They jumped at that. Master, give us this bread now and forever. And Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. The person who aligns with me hungers no more and thirsts no more. Ever. Again, as we come to Jesus and say, blessed are you, Lord our God, the King of the universe. By your hands, you provide for us food and drink, and you provide for us those deeper things of life and eternity. And so I just want to close with Psalm 23 and then give you an opportunity to share words of thanksgiving. But Psalm 23, again, is a great song for memorial services, but it seems to be a great Thanksgiving psalm as well, because it starts out, the Lord is my shepherd. You're my constant companion. Again, my source of all satisfaction. I have everything I need, or I shall not want. And these are the things that you are sufficient for me. You lead me in green pastures. You lead me in places of life and flourishing. You lead me by still waters, those places of peace when my life is in turmoil. You restore my soul when it's racked with guilt or fear and all that might trouble our soul. You lead me in paths of righteousness. I trust in your sufficiency for that. When I'm walking through dark valleys, you're with me and you're taking away my fear. I trust that you are enough for that. You give me, like we talked about last week, you give me sure-footedness in those dark valleys so that I might be able to walk with all security. When I'm in front of my enemies, when I'm serving you, when I'm on the front lines, when I'm living for what's right and just and offering that to the world, and I come against the enemy, or I'm swimming upstream in this world, you're my strength and you're lifting me up and honoring me above my enemies. You are the lifter of my head in those troubled times when I'm serving you faithfully. You anoint my head with oil. You know, you bless me for your purposes. My cup overflows. I'm amazed when I just trust in you, how you come through in ways that I never imagined. Your goodness and your mercy are going to follow me every day of my life. You know, you're going to be sufficient for me, and you'll be sufficient for me even into eternity. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So think about how all those statements have something to do with God. You are my source of satisfaction. You are more than sufficient in everything that I face as I walk with you.